Niall Boylan Say No to Bullying campaign.
Hi, my name's Evan and I'm saying no to bullying.
Hi, I'm Hugh and I'm saying no to bullying.
To get involved, contact Niall Boylan at classichits.ie.
It is a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you till 3 o'clock today. And today, of course, sees the launch to our Say No to Bullying campaign. We want to get everybody involved. And the reason that we're doing it is because it's something that's very personal to me. At the age of maybe 6 or 7 years of age, I find myself in a situation in primary school where I had a young guy who was permanently bullying me. I used to come home to my parents all the time. My mother used to, she had a track worn out to the school at one stage. I was eating the ends off my jumpers. I used to hide behind the prefabs with my lunch because this guy used to take it on me every single day, the same person. And then he had a few mates as well who would join in. But it completely destroyed my young years in school. So much so, by the age of 9, I had lost every little bit of hair that I had. I ended up with alopecia and lost all my hair by the age of 9 years of age. That in turn made the bullying even worse, because then it turned to name calling. Thankfully, that all regained itself later in life. But I went through a stage then for 10 years with no hair in school, being bullied for having no hair. So that's how bad bullying became when I was in school. And that was something that had a huge effect on my life, a huge effect on my self-confidence and my self-esteem. So much so that I suppose it probably changed the whole of my life, because now I'm in a job where I have to express a lot of self-confidence and a lot of self-esteem. I'm actually quite a quiet person. I'm not really as mental as I might seem sometimes on the radio. But that to me is very, very personal. That's why we want you to get involved in this. Now, the aim of the campaign, of course, is to educate. Earlier on the week, I spoke to our Minister for Education, Jan O'Sullivan. We wanted to talk to her about our campaign, and also what was imperative when it came to young people in education was that more training was given to teachers in student or student teacher training college. And I asked her that very question, what plans the government had to improve that.
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate you on your campaign, because I think it's really important that we raise awareness about this issue in every way we possibly can. So your pledge and your campaign are really positive contributions to that. We do have elements in the teacher training, both the initial teacher training and the upskilling in relation to bullying. And we require, under the Action Plan for Bullying, which was published in 2013, we require all schools to have an anti-bullying policy. So they have to have a policy, and they have to have information about that policy. And I suppose we've been building on that. There are a number of actions that are in the action plan, and we've been implementing those actions.
Sometimes, I suppose, with a school, it's difficult for them to admit that maybe they have a problem or how to deal with that problem. Is that something that a problem that we face as well?
Yeah, well, that's why really they have to have a policy. So in other words, they don't wait until there is a problem. They don't wait until a child is bullied. Mm-hmm. They actually are supposed to have a culture of anti-bullying, a culture of not tolerating bullying in all the schools. And that's what we want, first of all, so that it won't arise. And then if it does arise, that there are very clear procedures whereby the child knows what to do, and, you know, that there are trusted adults that they can approach, and that it's very clear. And that's why the policy should be very clear in the school.
I want to just turn to Jack, who joins us in the studio. Good afternoon to you, Jack.
Good afternoon, Niall.
Nice. How old are you, Jack, just to let people know?
I'm 16, yeah.
16 years of age. Jack, when did this bullying start for you? And you wanted to tell us about this bullying and how it affected your life. I mean, when did it start for you? At what age were you?
It was when I was about 11. I was in fifth class. Mm-hmm. It was basically me and my best friend for a few years. We started drifting apart. I'm not quite sure why. I don't remember. But anyway, I don't remember why, but he ended up hating me. And he was my only, I'd say, popular friend, the only one in the popular group. Mm. And after losing him, I didn't really have any safeguard. And I was always seen as a bit of a sort of weird kid. Mm. That's when the bullying kind of started.
And because people saw you as the weird kid, did you believe then that you were the weird kid? Were you starting to think that yourself?
Yeah, I suffered a huge hit to my self-confidence due to the name-calling and stuff like that. I was pretty upset all the time. I was always upset at home. I tended to become a lot more introverted. And on my birthday in fifth class, they decided they were going to give me birthday bashes, but they weren't exactly birthday bashes. They actually beat the crap out of me, really.
Oh, God.
And that's when I finally told a teacher. So that sort of led to me getting huge trust issues, as well as a lack of self-confidence. I lost the ability to sort of believe in myself as a sociable human being.
We will not join in any bullying behavior!
I'm glad they say no. And a big thanks to those. That's the North Dublin schoolboys and girls. All right, but first of all, I want to talk to Grainne Long, who's from the ISPCC, and she joined us in studio. Good afternoon to you, Grainne.
Good afternoon, Niles. Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to have you involved in the campaign, which is there's something that concerns you more so than anybody else in the country, which is about children. And children, of course, are the most vulnerable in society. But, I mean, you will hear from children all the time who find themselves in this situation, I'm sure.
We do. We hear from children every day, Niall, who call Childline to talk to us, and it's our job to listen. Mm. And I suppose how you described it, and first of all to say congratulations to you and to the team. This is a really important campaign, as you said, and how you described your own experience of bullying, you said it might be quite different, you know, from back in those days. Actually, how you described it is how it has been described to volunteers in Childline today. Every child is different, and some children will put on a front.
Yeah.
And particularly if a parent, and I will always say to parents, just be mindful of how you describe your children in front of them. So sometimes parents don't realise they're doing it, but they might say, oh, he's a real toughie, or she's really tough.
Or he's a bit of a softie.
Or he's a bit of a softie. And then it's like anything. If someone says it about you, you conform to type, don't you?
Yeah.
So even now, you know, I'm 37 and my parents still would say something about me. You always want to prove to your parents, you want your parents to think you're great. And that's how we all are. So I always say to adults, just be really careful about how you describe kids.
Well, Childline plays a really important part of this. Since its inception originally, I mean, the call rate has just gone up and up. But how many calls on average would Childline get on a daily or yearly basis?
Well, we still get around about 450,000 calls a year.
That's incredible, okay? Isn't it?
And it goes up and down different years. And what's been really interesting for us has been the amount of contacts we're now getting online. So either our text service or our web chat service.
Fantastic. So they've had to modernise with the children, I suppose.
Absolutely.
In some sense.
We hear all the time from children who'll say, look, I don't want to call you, I want to text you. So and you can text 50101. So text help to 50101. It's the volunteer's job to listen to children. So we don't judge, we don't tell you how you're supposed to think, we don't tell you how you're supposed to feel. Our job is to listen and help everybody work their way through whatever the issue or the problem is for them. And you don't have to call, by the way, if you know, you don't have to wait for the worst problem. Just call. And we don't rush young people through it. So we don't, you know, when we answer the call, we don't need to know what the issue is straight away. We just take your time. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter if you want to go away and come back, and we'll still be here. And it's 24 hours. Our calls are 24 hours a day. So again, sometimes children and young people like to call later in the evening or overnight, or they like to text, and our text line is open till 4 a.m. in the morning. So pretty much around the clock, we are always there.
I want to go to Christine if I can, because Christine, you have a question for Grainne Long from the ISPCC. Go ahead, Christine.
Hi, Niall. Hi Grainne. How are you? I tell you, I've got my son, he's 6 years of age. He's in senior infant. Now, he had a play date on Friday, and his best friend proceeded to tell me in front of my son how we love playing catch with him because he's the slowest in the class. A couple of other things. He's a whinger, he's a crier. And after about 15, 20 minutes, he started breaking down, crying, telling me, oh, you're spending an awful lot more time with my friend today and not me. Now, this came out of absolutely nowhere. They're best friends. I don't know of any tips on how to deal with it. This morning, for example, on the way into school, I said to him, look, if you don't want to play catch, just say to them, look, guys, I don't want to play catch at all today. And he said to me, but then I'm just going to be wandering around the yard on my own. And to hear that from a six-year-old.
Yeah, and Christine, good to chat to you. And I suppose my first reaction I would say to you is, you know, your child is absolutely going to want to talk more and more to you about this when he's ready and at the time that suits him. And it won't be easy for him, and it's tough for you, you know, as a parent to be worrying about this. Again, what we will always say at the ISPCC and particularly at Childline is take time to listen. And maybe the first reaction is to, or the first object is to get as much information out of your son as you can at the right pace. But also giving him time and just ask him, how does that make you feel?
I mean, Christine, was that of any help to you there, Christine? Sorry.
I tell you, just listening to everything there, my son was severely bullied in junior infant, and I didn't go into that. I'm only because that was dealt with.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you this. When I was speaking to his teacher in junior infant, I was not allowed to use the word bullying. And I want my son to know that he is my backup. And I'll let you know why. This is going to bring tears to my eyes, okay? My godson, I won't name. He's He's a lovely chap. He's 17. He was down with me recently, and he told me at 13 he tried to take his life because he was being bullied, and his parents listened to the headmaster instead of him.
This is
that's quite shocking, isn't it?
Unfortunately, Christine, really something that's happening on a regular basis.
That's right. Oh, totally.
Christine,
no,
you're absolutely right to say it. No, I mean, you're right to say it.
Apologies for getting upset. I'm sitting here in a supermarket car park. can I tell you what happened afterwards? He went to his parents, and when he said it to me, and I said to him, like, what did you do? Did you say it to them? He said, yeah. And then since then, he had tried it two other times. So what happened to him, he said, in primary school, he said he was bullied, and he went to his parents. And he felt he didn't get the support from his parents.
And Christine, if I can just say to you, the two questions that we ask children on a really regular basis is, how does it make you feel? And what do you think might help? Because very rarely do we ask children what their view is.
I had a sister and she was sort of severely bullied for the fact that she had a stammer and stuttering and that, and it really affected her. And I think she's sort of getting through it now, and people aren't doing it as much, but it was something that definitely affected her for the past few years. She didn't really deal with it. She didn't tell anyone, and she just sort of suffered until one of her friends had told us. And so she told, like, us, the family and everything, and so we tried to get it sorted out. She was, like, scared to speak, and even doing, like, presentations and stuff, like, that would still be something that sort of hurts her. And, yeah, no, it's definitely something, I guess, that is going to affect her definitely for, like, the next few years. But yeah, she's getting through, she's getting on with it.
One of my friend's brothers actually committed suicide because of bullying.
What happened to him? What was his situation?
I don't know. I think he got bullied for, I don't know, by some of the students, and it was just too much for him, and he ended up committing suicide.
Talk to someone, tell, like, family, tell friends, make sure they know. And just try really hard not to let it get to you, because that's the worst. That's what the bully wants, and you don't want to give the bully what they want.
And one thing to remember is that it's never your fault. If you're bullied, like, the only person's fault it is the bully itself, and you should never feel ashamed or afraid or anything, and just know that you have people around you who love you and that you can always go to someone who you trust.
Well, that is the students of Fingal Community College in Swords, and Claire Craig was out talking to them this morning, talking to some of the students about how they've experienced bullying. One of the main reasons that people do get bullied is because of body image. Body image is a very important part of being a modern teenager, I suppose. Particularly young girls are very vulnerable to this, of course. There's an expectation about how they should look at 14, 15, 16 years of age when they're taking that selfie for Facebook. And what I want you to do today is I want you to get involved. If you need some advice, we are going to be speaking to the expert Harriet Parsons from Bodywise about the effects of bullying and eating disorders. And if you want any advice at all, maybe you have a problem or you have a fear that your child may be going down that road and being overconscious of their body image, or maybe they may be getting bullied because of their body image, let us know how you feel. You can call us on 1850 410 494. But before I do that, I want to speak to a young lady from Donegal, Leslie McGee. And Leslie has been down this route and the hard way, unfortunately. Good afternoon to you, Leslie.
Hi, Niall. I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. Listen, this argument or this idea of body image, it has become a huge part of social media. Girls, because they're taking selfies of themselves and they're taking pictures of each other, they want to look well. They want to look how society believes they should look. You fell victim of that. And what happened to you?
Well, bulimia had controlled my life for nearly 4 years. And through bulimia, I had developed anxiety as a part of the disorder, and it just began to reach a spiking level.
And why did you feel you had to look a certain way? When you looked in the mirror, what did you see?
I just had no self-esteem whatsoever. I didn't like my body image. And I was just always looking at airbrushed photos, which were fictitious pictures of models that I felt that I should aspire to be like. We have to accept that people are all different shapes and sizes, but that doesn't mean that they're not a brilliant person. But unfortunately, at this time, my mindset was just totally distorted.
What weight were you at that stage? Or maybe what height were you, to give us some idea of the perspective of this? What weight were you?
I'm only 5 foot, and at that actual time, I dropped down to 6.5 stone.
And who do you believe is perpetrating this more? Is it men? Is it women? Is it what men expect of women? Is it what women expect their peers think they should look like? Or is it the magazines and is it the shop fronts and everything else? What do you believe it is?
Well, I believe the media has a major impact on how we perceive our body image. The fact that people feel that they need to Photoshop is a scary symptom on society. And I just want to let people know that don't let the stigma of an eating disorder or anything you're battling with be a barrier to getting treatment.
Mm-hmm.
These are prevalent issues within society that need to be highlighted, so don't let any stigma stop you.
All right, well, listen, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. Leslie McGee, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Niall.
Joining me in the studio as well, by the way, is Harriet Parsons. And Harriet is from Bodywise. And I suppose really, Harriet, that is the ultimate. That's what happens, isn't it, when young girls feel those effects of how they feel they should look in society.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the ways that it comes out. And I suppose what's really, what I could hear through what Leslie was saying was the idea that in some ways this was her attempt to find an answer to all of those kind of negative feelings that she was internalising about who she was in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially that's kind of what an eating disorder is. It's in a very general way, you can think of it as a coping mechanism that a person uses to make themselves feel better, feel like they can cope, feel like they're doing something in their life.
We're seeing ourselves a lot more now. I mean, if you 20 years ago, you know, the odd person might have had a camera with them at a party.
Yeah.
Now everybody has a camera in their pocket all the time. So we're taking photographs constantly. Is that part of it too? So we're seeing ourselves a lot
more.
We
are seeing ourselves, and we have a different, we have so many different avenues of putting our own image out there.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are we seeing ourselves, but we're projecting images of ourselves and we are thinking, how is the world seeing us?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. That's our perception of what we think the world is thinking of us.
We had Luke yesterday in the studio. We chatted to him after the show and he brought out a video about cyberbullying and how it affected him. And I first of all asked Luke why he decided to make this video.
Because I cyberbullied for like the past 2 years. And then when I told my parents, they let me talk to their friend and he said that I should make a video about it. So I made a video about it and it took like 2 weeks to edit and make. And then when we uploaded it, it was like the Rubber Bandit shared it and then Jodai and then everyone else started sharing it.
And we spoke to you at the time. We interviewed you at the time. And the video, of course, sends out a message, stop, block and tell. And this is something you come up with yourself. And maybe you could explain the stop, block and tell. What does that actually mean?
Well, the stop is to stop and think before posting something online that might be upsetting to someone. And then the block is to like block whoever's bullying you. And then the tell is to just tell like a parent or guardian if you're being cyberbullied.
Now, in your situation, when you say you were cyberbullied, what were they saying about you? What were they doing? Was it on Facebook or was it on Twitter?
It was on my YouTube account. Like if I upload a video, they'd say like, oh, this video's bad or you're ugly or you're gay and stuff like that.
So this is kind of common language in school. People would say you're gay or you're ugly or you're fat or you're small or you have glasses or whatever it is. So they just pick on something they believe would upset you.
Yeah.
And how did that make you feel at the time?
Like, I just thought it was like normal. If you're being on YouTube, I thought it was just normal to get like bad comments. So I know.
You just kind of shrugged it off a little bit, yeah. But it did hurt your feelings a bit as well, did it?
Yeah.
So you can understand how other people, I suppose, maybe who wouldn't be as strong as you would be hurt a lot more by this.
Yeah, so that's why we made the video to help other kids to like overcome cyberbullying, which we did because there's comments on the video saying that we did.
Well, that's great. What advice, by the way, for other children who might be listening in the car at the moment with their mums and dads who might be experienced bullying, be it cyberbullying or physical bullying in school, what advice would you give them?
If you're being cyberbullied, to tell your mum or your dad.
Not to be afraid to tell them, in other words, yeah.
Yeah, because if you, like, it was, like, in the video, when you first get it, you kind of think it's normal. Like, when I got the bloody nose, you think it's normal, so you just wipe it away. And then it kind of builds up every time you get a bad comment. But if you tell somebody then, and then they do something about it and it stops, it kind of goes away.
Well, I suppose the ultimate amount of damage that can be done to somebody is when somebody decides that they can't take any more. And for that reason, they decide to take their own life. And that happened to one girl. Amanda Todd was a young 15-year-old girl with everything to live for, going to high school, just your average teenager, until one day her whole life changed. and I want to speak to Amanda's mother and find out exactly what happened. And I first asked her, well, I asked her how she was.
I am fine today, thank you.
Carol, this must have been a very, very difficult time in your life. And if you can just, I suppose, for the people listening, take us back to how this all started for Amanda. And can you remember the first day that you saw those warning signs that something wasn't quite right in her life?
Well, you know what? She was a pre-teenager, and social media and technology, I think, was on the rise back then. It wasn't so as popular and rampant as it is now between our teenagers. Mm-hmm. And so Amanda was doing things like she was singing and videoing herself and putting it online and meeting the odd person through Messenger back then. There wasn't all these applications and apps. And so she posted some of her singing videos online and got the attention of other people. And so subsequently, she, some people befriended her and befriended her, telling her she was, you know, they were her age and invited her into a room to sing and all that stuff. And then she went into the room. And she loved the attention, as do many of our kids out there. And so she went in and she sang, and then she was, you know, she was groomed, because, you know, people tell her that she was beautiful. And so one person convinced her to lift up her shirt and show her chest, and so she did. And I don't condone it, and I didn't find out about it until 6 months later, because the police showed up at my door, and what had happened when she lifted up her shirt, the person took a picture of her on his side, right? Okay. This alleged 16-year-old boy. And then for the 6 months after that, he and I don't know if there were others, attempted to get her to show more of herself and do things. And, you know, she was saying no, she didn't want to do that. And they said, well, if you don't do this by a certain date, we're going to post your picture.
So they were blackmailing online. Her. They were essentially blackmailing her.
Yes. And the terminology that we use now is sextortion, because mm-hmm. you're extorting people for sexual acts. You know, as a teenager, she was totally embarrassed. She was...
She'd been humiliated, essentially.
She was humiliated. Yeah. She was humiliated, and it was during Christmas break, and you know, good thing that school wasn't in session, but technology brings people into your house, brings
Absolutely,
people right
yep.
to you. And so instead of that face-to-face, peer-to-peer stuff that was happening, it all happened through social media. It just continues on. If something happens at school, then it's brought into the social networks. And, mm-hmm. you know, instead of face-to-face one person, it can morph out into 1,000 people in no time, right? And so that's what happened to Amanda. People started sharing it, and people recaptured the picture, and then she started getting, you know, messages about, you know, what was going on, and then the name-calling, and the we call it slut-shaming, right? And,
yeah.
And that embarrassed her, and it humiliated her. She was afraid of going back to school after Christmas break in case of what people said. But, you know, we tried to tell her that in 2 weeks, maybe it would just fade away.
And what, she obviously thought people would think differently of her in some way because of what they had saw.
Mm-hmm. It was just terrible. So she slowly introverted into herself more and more. And then, you know, she attempted to try a new school, but it doesn't. Before technology, you could probably go to a new school and no one would know who you are. But now with technology, and it doesn't take long for someone to know someone to know someone.
And was she confiding in you all along through this period? Well, obviously after this incident had happened initially and she'd gone back to school, was she talking to you about how she felt and how it was making her feel? And when she went into herself like that, had she been confiding in you, or was she keeping it to herself very much?
She was keeping it to herself, but as her mom, I could see stuff that wasn't quite right. Like, she wasn't eating properly, she wasn't sleeping properly. It was the stress of everything, right? And then, you know, watching her YouTube video, you could see the sequence of events and the people and what they were saying. And it was just a real shame that I think if the kids had let it go, Amanda would still be here.
The day that, of course, this happened, what actually happened on that day? Can you remember that morning?
you know what? She wasn't feeling well. She stayed home from school that day. It was totally a shock that
you thought things were getting better. Yeah,
I thought things were getting better, but you know what? With kids going through depression and mental health issues, you never know what a trigger might be. And I still don't know what the actual trigger was for that day. I wish I knew. I wish that she had reached out.
All right, can I just say, by the way, throughout the week, we've had a huge amount of help in relation to putting the whole week together. We've had a lot of people, by the way, texting in saying it's made a difference to them because it's brought back memories for them and how they dealt with bullying, and it's helped them with their children. And we've got to thank, of course, all the schools who got involved, School Mhuire Fatima in Cork, Belvedere College, St. Munchan's College in Limerick, NDSL, the North Dublin School Boys and Girls League, School Mhuire in Cork, I mentioned already, Fingal Community College. Also, Claire Craig and Olivia Hogan, our two reporters who went out to all the schools and visited May the schools. Lachlan, by the way, here at the radio station, the man who put all the audio together, and of course, most importantly of all, Helena and also Siobhan outside, who basically put the whole week together. I just sat here and pressed buttons. But in the meantime, here's a little bit of a recap of what happened in our Say No to Bullying campaign.
Hi, I am James and I'm saying no to bullying.
Hi, I am Sean and I'm saying no to bullying.
Hi, my name's Carol and I'm saying no to bullying.
Hi, my name's Owen and I'm saying no to bullying.
Hi, my name's Dara and I'm saying no to bullying.
Hi, my name's Evan and I'm saying no to bullying.
Hi, I'm Hugh and I'm saying no to bullying.
Hi, I'm Dylan and I'm saying no to bullying.
I think if the kids had let it go, Amanda would still be here. She wasn't feeling well. She stayed home from school that day. You know what? With kids going through depression and mental health issues, you never know what a trigger might be. I still don't know what the actual trigger was for that day. I wish I knew. I wish that she had reached out. We love our children. They're there forever, and we were there to help them. It's unconditional love, right? And so it's unconditional parenting. We have to be there.
You could be in an area with thousands and thousands of people, but you can still feel alone. But once you say to one genuine person, there's a weight off your shoulders because you are only as sick as your secret.
There were times now when I used to walk down to the Grand Canal and look in and think, you know, which would be better, standing here looking in or being in the water looking up for a few seconds and then gone. It never leaves you. But what I would say to people who are being bullied, even now, it is never about you. It is about the person who is, you know, perpetrating the bullying. It's about their inadequacies.
Talk to someone. Tell, like, family, tell friends. Make sure they know. Try really hard not to let it get to you, because that's the worst. That's what the bully wants, and you don't want to give the bully what they want.
And one thing to remember is that it's never your fault. If you're bullied, like, it is the only person's fault it is the bully itself, and you should never feel ashamed or afraid or anything, and just know that you have people around you who love you and that you can always go to someone who you trust.
But it completely destroyed my young years in school. So much so, by the age of 9, I had lost every little bit of hair that I had. I ended up with alopecia. That in turn made the bullying even worse, because then it turned to name calling. And that was something that had a huge effect on my life, a huge effect on my self-confidence and my self-esteem. So much so that I suppose it probably changed the whole of my life.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on your campaign, because I think it's really important that we raise awareness about this issue in every way we possibly can. So your pledge and your campaign are really positive contributions to that.
Stand up, speak out, stop. We will not join in any bullying behaviour. We will not use our hands, our voices or our computers to hurt another person. We are taking a stand against bullying. We are St. Munchan's College and we say no to bullying.
We are soldiers.
Fingal Community College, and we say no to bullying.